sunshine. Give me a do. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing mountain dew. So give me my good friends. Give me a do.
Grab some friends and an ice cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew.
Hello, it's Alice Arnold here. Welcome to the Magic Musicals and Theatre Podcast. This week's podcast is centred around the production of Evita at Regent's Park Theatre. We're going to be speaking to Samantha Pawley, who plays Ava, Trent Saunders, who plays Che, and Hector Rivera, who plays Juan Perón. I'm talking to Samantha Pawley, yeah, who is playing Ava Perón in, yes, Evita at Regent's Park. So you are part of this UK exchange scheme.
Yes.
You come from Chicago,
yes,
where there is, I know, an incredible theatre scene in,
yes,
Chicago. It's,
yeah,
a massive thing, and I don't,
yeah,
know how many people, if everyone is aware of that, because I think maybe they think it's New York and LA, but I know Chicago is a massive hub.
It really is.
For theatre.
It's really fantastic. The theatre community is significantly smaller than it is in New York, which is part of the reason that I moved there instead of going to New York, because it's a lot more Midwestern.
From
Iowa.
Okay.
Which is pretty much right next to Illinois. That's where I grew up. It's very Midwestern. For anyone that doesn't know what that means, everyone is very nice, very welcoming. The stakes are low, no matter what, no matter what it is. And you get that feel from the Chicago theater community. Everybody knows everybody. You always seem to be in an audition room with all of your friends. We have three major music theater houses, in the Chicago area. And I kind of bounce around between those three. One of them I've done was the second time I did Evita there was at the Marriott Theater in Chicago. And I've done, I think, maybe 9 or 10 shows there. So it really is, the community is small enough that I consider those places home, you know, because everyone is just like a big family. It's really nice.
You just talked about the second time you did Evita,
yes,
in Chicago. So is this the third time?
This is the fourth time.
Fourth.
Okay. The first time I did it, I played the mistress, and this is my third time playing Ava.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's wild.
This is a bit different.
Yeah.
This production, as we've been talking about with your co-stars, directed by Jamie Lloyd.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I think everybody thinks about Evita is that when she sings Don't Cry For Me, Argentina, she will be in a big white dress,
mm-hmm,
and a blonde wig,
yep,
and be standing on the balcony,
yep,
of the Casa Rosada. That is not you sing it in a pair of plimsolls and a slip.
Yep.
was that disappointing for you, or do you?
No, not at all. At some point in the show, you do get the big white dress and you get the blonde wig. So anyone that hasn't seen it, never fear. You will see it, just not when you think you will see it. But no, it wasn't disappointing. Part of the reason that I wanted to do this was I didn't fly here for any auditions. I did a couple tapings and then like a video callback with Jamie. And one of the things he asked me, because he kind of described to me what his concept was for the show, he said it was going to be completely different, which made me really excited, and that was one of the reasons that I wanted to do it. He asked me, you know, would you want to do the show again and come to London and do it? And I said, well, I've never been to London, and I've done the show pretty much the same way every time. It's, you know, people come to see Evita expecting to see that the big white dress when they want to see it, and a lot of grand costumes, and I don't think that those are things that the show necessarily needs, and I think that that's what makes it really exciting. It's really stripped down, and one thing that I really enjoy is that I feel like she's a human that people can identify with in this particular production. I think any other time you see her, she's just like, I mean, she's a queen, don't get me wrong. But, you know, I think when people see the show, they're like, oh my God, Ava Perón, like iconic, whatever. And in this, I really try and bring a lot of humanity to her so that people can see that she is just
a person, you know? Bring a cheekiness to her.
Yeah.
Which I don't think I've ever seen before. You're winking and you're, was it Good Night and Thank You? Or which is the one where you...
In our version of Good Night and Thank You, I have all of the guys and I walk on their backs.
Yeah, that's one.
But yeah.
Yeah, but you certainly bring a cheekiness, a knowing smiliness.
Yeah,
to her.
I mean, she was... Ava Perón was a boss. She knew what she was doing. She was incredibly powerful, but I think another thing we've done with this production is really kind of emphasize it, like the humor in the show. Do you know what I mean? Because the show is funny. There's a lot of really funny moments. Tim Rice wrote some really, really funny and witty lyrics that I think a lot of times kind of get glossed over because the music is hard. And so, yeah, I think we've really kind of pinpointed all of that.
And also the youth, I think, because I think often Evita, because of the sing, is cast a slightly older person. And you have the most phenomenal voice. You carry
that part with
effortlessly.
Thank you.
You carry that part.
Thank you.
It is beautiful. You have no break in your voice. It's just
extraordinary. Oh, girl, thank you so much.
Well, I noticed. It was amazing. But you're young and you look young and she was. And I think that's a lovely element to bring through.
Yeah,
that you can
carry
that part while still being the youth that she was.
Yeah, when she was at the height of everything, her Casa Rosada moment in the white dress, she was, Che says it in the show in High Flying Adored. She was only 26 years old.
Yeah.
She died when she was 32 or 33. I mean, I'm in that room between 26 and 30. That's right where I sit. And I think that's another reason that I have kind of had an easier time connecting to the show, because it was just over so quickly for her. And I think a lot of people don't realize how young she was. And it's really sad.
They've added You Must Love Me.
Yes.
In this version. Was that in... That's from the film.
Mm-hmm.
Was that in the shows when you did it before on stage?
Is that a common thing
to add now?
In two of them, yeah. I think that there's a version of the script now that includes it as an option if people want to have it in the show if they don't want to. But the last two times I've done it, they've kept it in. People love that song.
Well, it was a huge hit later from the film.
Yeah. On press night here, there was a really funny moment. It was like late in the evening, almost probably 1 a.m. And this tiny little older woman approached me and she was talking to me and she was like, oh, I love the way you sang that song. I normally don't, it's normally not my favorite, but you did a great job. And I was like, oh, thank you. It's nice to meet you. And then she started talking about how she did the casting for the film. Just like super casual, threw it out there. And I was like, okay, great. And then she like disappeared into the trees. It was, she just like appeared out of nowhere and then was gone. And I was like, yay, she liked it.
Before you came here, you were in Six.
Yeah.
The musical, which is another British musical.
Yeah.
How did Six, which is about the wives of Henry VIII, mm-hmm. How did that go down? That was in Chicago?
Yes. Yeah. I did the premiere in Chicago.
And is that still running in Chicago?
It closed on August 4th. They let me out early to come here and do this. They are in Boston now. I think they have their first audience tomorrow in Boston. But when I'm done here, I'm going to join them again when we go to Edmonton in Canada.
Oh, fun. So,
yeah.
So you're all planned out because
yep.
nobody else I've spoken to knows what they're doing when they finish this production, but you yeah. do. But you've never been to London before.
I haven't,
and
no.
Well, you're doing your 8 shows a week, so I imagine you haven't really had much chance to explore.
No, not, I've tried to do a little bit of exploring. My husband was just here. He left on Monday, but he was here for 2 weeks. And once we're open, I have the whole day free until I have to come here at night. So while he was here, we were trying to do a bunch of touristy things. I did go to the Tower of London, which was really great because I wanted to see all of the Henry VIII stuff. And,
of course.
So we did that, and then we went out to Hampton Court Palace, too, to do a tour
that's
there.
Cracker. So you've done the Henry VIII stuff.
Yes, I've basically. Done the Henry VIII stuff. We did do like a big bus tour one Sunday when I had the whole day because there's a lot of stuff that I want to see, but I don't necessarily need to spend £30 to go inside. I would just
a bus
like,
is a
I would
great
just, like,
way to
yeah,
do it.
Yeah, so I got to see a lot of
Buckingham all the Palace cool, yeah. House of Parliament.
Yep,
done.
That's it. Take. Yeah, saw it.
Jobs are good. And
done.
Yeah. So, what have you missed about Chicago though? While you've been here,
I miss all of my friends. I miss my family, but my parents and my sister will be here next Wednesday or Thursday. I think they get in. I miss my house. I miss my dog a lot.
Oh, what dog have you got?
I have a greyhound.
Oh, do you?
I do.
Oh.
I love him. So I miss him. It's funny because I've just been so busy here. I honestly really haven't had a chance to be homesick yet, which is kind
That's
of
good.
Nice.
I shouldn't make you think about it.
No, but I figured that I would feel that way a lot sooner, but I love coming here every day. Everybody has been so welcoming. So it's easy to come here and just have a blast with all my new London friends.
Good. Had you performed outside before? With
no.
With the weather?
No,
elements?
I never
We've
have.
We've talked to the others about the weather.
Yeah.
It's been a mixed summer for here, I
yeah.
would say. If you'd done this last year, you would have been melting.
Yeah.
Because we basically had a heat wave.
That's what everybody
months.
Had told me. For six, we had the whole team from here come over to set the show in Chicago. So before I came here, I was asking them, what do I need to pack? What's it going to be like? And they were like, well, last year it was really hot, so we don't know. But it's been great. Like I said, I've never done outdoor theater before. There's a lot of really nice moments, you know, in a moment of silence when the wind kind of blows through the trees. And it's really beautiful at night when the sun starts to set. But I will say that stage, those stairs absorb whatever temperature it is outside. So if it's cooler at night, the stairs get really cold. So having to sit on the stairs, I'm just trying not to...
In your little slip.
Yes, yes. I'm trying not to shiver. And on days when it's hot, the stairs get really hot. So you have to sit on the stairs and it's like sitting on a car seat when it's been sitting in the sun. You're like, oh, God. But it's great. Like you said, it's unpredictable. But so far it's been really lovely.
And I think what's lovely about Regent's Park is that although it's outside, and often when people perform outside, I think they feel they've got to be bigger and louder and mm-hmm. to get to, but that's not the case at the park. It's incredibly intimate outdoor space.
It really is. Yeah. Before I came here, I guess I didn't really know what to expect. I had tried to look up pictures online, but the first day that I came here, I was really surprised at kind of how not closed off, but it's just a nice little.
I think because the seats are so raked up.
Yeah,
and
I
so,
think.
And with this set, that you're on a flight of steps that's
yeah.
raked up the other way, so it's almost like you're in the bottom of a bowl.
Yeah,
when you're
yeah truly
when you're in it.
But it is. It's really nice and intimate. The sound, they've done a fantastic job. The sound is really phenomenal. So, yeah. I like you said. I think I was kind of worried about maybe pushing because you can't. Hear yourself. There's nothing to
yeah.
absorb the sound and bounce it back to you, but it's been great. I love it.
Well, it does sound fantastic.
Good.
You sound fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Good luck going
thank
back
you
to
so much.
Chicago and being in six.
Thank you.
And come back soon.
I hope so. I would love to come back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Trent Saunders.
Hi.
Che Guevara.
Yes.
Yes. I have seen Evita quite a few times.
Okay.
In fact, I was in it for a year. Went original production.
Yeah.
So long ago, you were not even born. However, I've never seen a production where Che basically strips off and gets covered in blue paint.
That's unique.
So, it is unique. And I have to say, I was a little worried for you because I was worried that you'd get cold. Because the night I saw it, it was quite cold. In fact, it poured with rain at the curtain call.
Yeah.
We finished just in time.
Yeah.
Do you get cold?
It is certainly the common theme at the end of the show. Everyone asks me. It is definitely chilly, I would say. But I think the journey of the character and kind of the demise of sorts, it kind of is just an element that adds to the quality of the performance for me personally. You know, usually I'm not really thinking about it. It's more like just one of the many things that I'm feeling at that time.
One is cold.
Obviously, it's, you know, so there's so much else to focus on. And at that point in time, I think the show is so focused. You know, there's very little light. There are three people on stage, and it's very simple. And so I think for me, a lot of the journey is my focus is elsewhere. My focus is on this very specific and visceral journey that the brilliant Sam Polly is going on. And so I can't really take my eyes off her. The discomfort kind of adds to the journey because I go through this like love experience, but I also like hate everything that I'm feeling, you know, that was because of her or, you know.
So what is the theory behind the demise of Che in this? Because that's not normal.
No,
that's
obviously
doesn't
that's,
usually
it
happen
is,
in
it
a
is,
production.
It's own unique telling in this version. I can tell you what I kind of interpreted it as. Jamie Lloyd, I'm sure, would tell you something different. Sam might tell you something different, but I think that's the beauty of the shows. We're all making our specific choices that is our truth, and I hopefully it reads. But for me, it's kind of this journey of embodying the torture and the suffering of all of the opposition, of all of the people who disappeared under the Perones' rule.
It's sort of like a Christ-like.
Yeah,
it did have that feeling.
It has that kind of element.
Like,
yeah.
You know, that you were a Christ-like figure.
Mm-hmm.
So you interpret it as taking on the pain and suffering.
Yeah. And in my mind, it's kind of it's I'm being tarred and feathered, you know? So it's a visceral, painful experience for my character. And he knows it's coming, you know, because this is the recurring kind of nightmare, both of Ava and of Che the whole time is, you know, he ultimately in being this all knowing kind of force that's flowing in and out of the story and commenting, it is the demise that's coming. And that kind of makes it Jesus like in a sort of way too, you know, it's the, like, he knows it's coming and thus he still makes the sacrifice, to demonstrate, to make the point and to, hopefully get through. You know, and I think that's the beauty of the production is you get to experience the nuance, you get to experience the evil, but you also get to experience the good, and that I think is the humanity in it. You know, it's more complicated than that. She wasn't just one thing; she was so many.
Mm. And of course, the relationship between Che and Evita is always open to interpretation because it didn't exist.
Absolutely,
you know. So that's the conceit that, that Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice put in the show.
Totally.
I guess to have a narrator.
Yeah.
And they thought, well, we'll make the narrator, Che Guevara. But you can interpret then that relationship between him and you talked about a love for Ava.
Yeah.
And I think that comes across actually. A love for the young, beautiful girl that was.
Charismatic, you know, and did good. You know, I think that's the like, it's the frustration, you know, that's
did
the
good
constant.
Before it went wrong.
Exactly. It's the like, you had the chance, you had this position, you came from this place that is understood and you rose and you had this opportunity and you claimed that this is what you were doing, but there were all of these other things that you're just ignoring, that you're talking like, you know, and even to this day, they're revered. They're Peronism is still actively a party in Argentina, and this is a thing that has survived. But how incredible the duality of it, you know, and you see it in society today. Populism is rampant in our world and confusing to a lot of people who you know, hate. They're like, there's hate on both sides. But I think that's kind of what's going on.
Which is why it's interesting to do that production now, I guess, in a time where
it's
your country and
Trump's
our country
favorite musical.
Have populist leaders. Talking of where you come from, which is clearly not London, it was an exchange, wasn't it, with the three leads of this production, I think.
Yeah.
An equity exchange
that
you were able to come over here and do the part, and presumably some English people will go to Broadway or whatever and do musical theatre. So how did that come about for you?
So Jamie Lloyd did an international search, and it's funny because I was cast in New York City, Sam was cast in Chicago, and Hector was cast in L.A. So you really, like, got your full basis of American performers. My family has a history with the producers of Regent's Park because my brother, Heath, was in the Chicago transfer of the Jesus Christ Superstar production. And he played Jesus, which is small world, right? It was totally an experience. I remember being in his dressing room after his show and looking at his shower that was covered in paint and confetti. And I was like, my brother is the only person who I think theatrically understands what it's like to be covered in paint and covered in confetti and what cleaning it up after a show looks like. So my brother was called in for the role as well. So he and I were both called in.
So you were up against each other for the same part.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh.
Which is maybe the third time in our careers that's happened, which is surprising because we're similarly built. We're similar in very many ways. We have a lot of the same mannerisms. Tim, our artistic director here, was commenting on watching me and being like, there are moments and beats that you are landing that are the exact same as your brother, which makes sense. We are 20 months apart. We're roommates in New York. Yeah, he's my best friend.
Gosh, that's sweet, but that's some competition though, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
You could split the part and do.
Well, we always joked about trying to do. I was in callbacks for Jesus Christ Superstar at the time, and we've always joked about doing Jesus Judas together because obviously that would be fun and I don't know, press would love the brothers.
Well, someone should make that happen.
Yeah, right.
Now, you've been in Evita before.
I have,
but I guess not in a production like this.
No, not at all. I mean, our production had at Bay Street, which was in Sag Harbor, New York. I did last summer. It was unique in a lot of ways, but nothing like this. This is surprising and visceral and different and strange, you know, and weird at times. You might be a little bit confused, but I think there's so much humanity that is there because the show is conceptual. It was a concept album, and it kind of jumps around, and you know, I feel like most productions kind of stick to it as literal as reality. You know, you walk through Ava's life. It is chronological, but then you have this character who like steps in and out of the story, and she's like jumping through periods and time in her life, and so I think it's really an interesting take to kind of like break it all down, and you know, she has this fever dream at the end, and I think Jamie Lloyd was like, well, what if the whole thing is a fever dream? Then at the end, when the montage happens, it's just a repeat of everything that you've just witnessed, and what could be clearer? Then it all makes sense. If it's that point of death, it's that point at the end, you can rewind, go through it, play it one more time, and actually watch her change in that one moment, you know? And I think that's just an incredibly beautiful thing.
And of course, the music remains a constant.
Yeah.
So you knew it all before.
Yes.
You did.
Luckily,
you
knew a lot of words.
Yeah, the words. Yeah, yeah, because it is a big part.
It is. Mean, it is a lot.
It carries a lot of the show.
And it's a lot of story. It's a lot of, you know, there's Tim Rice's words are so incredibly precise. And you know, there are moments of just incredible beauty and poetry in them. And I feel like a lot of times you get lost in Andrew Lloyd Webber's incredible score. You get lost in this sweeping, epic music. Elaine Page came and saw the show and she said, which I think is the highest praise, that she understood every word,
mm-hmm.
Which is the best thing, I think, for me, that you can tell me as my Che, is that you heard the words that I said.
Oh, absolutely. And you do have a beautiful stillness about you, because I've seen Che's that get a bit screechy and a bit, and you play it with a sort of authority and calm and stillness, which I thought was absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, because the writing does the work, you know? They wrote this epic score and they wrote these incredible, poignant, clear words if you listen to them, and the case is made and this juxtaposition between these two perceptions about one life are just interesting enough on their own. Well, maybe it's made a little bit more interesting by paint and crazy
balloons.
Incredible balloons. Incredible choreography by Fabian Aliz.
Which is fantastic.
Oh my goodness.
When I saw the set and I thought, okay, we've got a lot of steps here, basically.
Yeah.
Wide steps, but nevertheless steps. So I was a bit disappointed because I thought, well, there's not going to be any dancing on that.
Yeah.
How wrong could I be?
Yeah, truly. I mean, it's interesting because what a risky set. You're right.
And then it started to drizzle, and I thought, no, that's going to get slippery now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now we're really in trouble.
Yeah, and there are moments that, you know, we have rain versions of everything, but
oh, do you?
Yeah, there are we have our big dance numbers, and also we've stopped the show a couple of times to wipe the stage right before, you know, Buenos Aires, and but we have a version of Money that is, you know, the dance break that is rain version. So it's safer. There's not as much movement. You know, the lifts, they're not running with the girls like they do in the show. So we have kind of,
say just before, rain version?
Yeah,
folks.
There are two people who come on and actually whisper to everyone, because there's the changing that's happening right before that. I'm not going to give too much away, but there's a moment for everyone to kind of be past the information that we're doing
just
rain version.
Well, what if someone didn't get it?
Well, I think
they did a different dance.
I think that you can tell when, because all it takes is the tiniest bit of drizzle, and we go straight into it, because obviously there's steps. We're on a giant set of stairs, and it's important. But the thing that comes with that is I feel like it's like a blank canvas, and the formations that you see are clear, and you can get these images that you couldn't get. You can't get on a proscenium stage. I mean, maybe if you're in the balcony and you're looking down, you can see the formation work that's going on. But there's just incredible images that are going on constantly throughout the show. It's a series of pictures that are just incredible. And then you have this profound stillness. And I think that was kind of, Jamie and I worked really hard on how still I could be, you know, because I let the ensemble run rampant, and what an energy they are. You know, I just kind of get to feed off of them so that I can stand there and I can say these words to you, you know, and I can really... he talks about it as the essence, and I kind of, it's like film work, you know, I don't have to do much and you're there with me, hopefully.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We were. Had you been to London before?
I had, actually. I came here, beginning of my career, I was St. Jimmy in, American Idiot. And we took with Stephen Gabriel, actually, is a co-producer on the Barbican Jesus Christ Superstar, Talk About Small Worlds. So I've seen him around, but the last time I saw him was when we were in London years ago, and I had a blonde mohawk, and I was also doing a rock musical, screaming a lot. But yeah, we came and we did a 10-week tour of the UK, and we went to Dublin as well. But that was 7 or 8 years ago. So what an incredible thing to get to, not only to come back again and perform in such a magical space in such an incredible city. I really do love it here. Mm. London is an incredible town.
Well, I think to come over and perform at Regent's Park, more than anything, actually, I mean, I love it. I just love the outdoor.
It's one of a kind.
It's magical.
Yeah,
the way the light changes and the atmosphere in the audience of everyone who's come, because it's not your... They're proper theatre goers, I think, if you come to Regent's Park.
Well, and there's history, you know. The number of people that talk about, like, that they've been here since it began.
Yeah.
You know, and they've come to every season of Regent's Park. How incredible. So there's history, you know, much... It's one of the things I love about London, too, is just the depth of history in everything. But specifically here, it's beautiful. And there is magic. There's magic in having this unique character that is the weather and that is the environment and the world, you know? And I think it creates the magic moments. You get to have it rain as Ava is dying.
Yeah. We did.
Yeah. But only you, you know? Yeah, good luck. Come see Evita, and we'll see if we can make it rain for you at the right times and not anywhere else.
And you go back after this, back to New York.
I do indeed.
To roommate with your brother.
Yes.
Have you got plans for when you go back, or is it just, we'll see what comes next?
We'll see what comes next. Yeah, my managers and I have had a couple conversations. There have been some things that have been close that we're working on, but nothing is set in stone right now. So I just get to go take a break, which I haven't had because I've been in Aladdin for 6 years before. I was an original cast member after American Idiot. I was an original cast member in Aladdin, and I did over 2,000 performances of Aladdin on Broadway. The ensemble, living my ensemble dreams. So this has been, it's like what a whopper! What a way to leave, you know, my Broadway debut, and I'm grateful. It's really just the long short of it.
Well, no more back to the ensemble for you, because now it's
I don't. Yeah. I'm not certain that's going to happen anymore.
No, I think not. Trent, thank you so much for coming in and talking to
us. Happy to.
Enjoy the rest of the run. It's a beautiful sunny day today, so no rain for Ava's death tonight.
Yeah, no.
Not for the next week or so, actually.
Yeah,
good.
I think we're gonna have some warm shows, which will be a new experience too.
You won't get so cold, and we won't be so worried about
That's
you.
That's true.
That's good. I'm glad about that. Trent, thank you so much. Hector Rivera, who is playing Juan Perón in Evita.
Yes.
It's a nice place to be, especially on a day like today, where it is beautifully sunny.
It's incredible. It's beautiful.
It's gorgeous. Yes.
Yeah, the first time that I came here to rehearse, Charles, and it was a magical place to have like a theater in the woods and everything, surrounded by trees. So it's a beautiful thing.
Now, you're playing Perón, and I have to say, I have never... Never seen such a good-looking young Perón.
Well, thank you.
To the listener who can't see this.
Oh, thank
Hector,
you.
Look Hector up on the website.
Thank you so much.
Even I am completely, yes, anyway. but usually Perón is played by an older man, isn't it, normally, but not in this production.
Absolutely. I really didn't know why they wanted me to cast me as Perón at first, because... of the age and everything, and I was having an idea of Peronism and Juan Perón, like 1 or 2 months before I started this show, you know, seeing documentaries, reading a lot, know the story behind this guy. But when I came here, Jamie Lloyd, the director, told me, "Oh, forget about the real Perón. So we're not. That's why you're not looking like him. We're doing like a contemporary idea of what he means in the politics." And basically the contemporary side of what is happening, and the extremes of the sides of the political guy that can be extreme, the darkest part of a politician and the brightest and charming start of the politician. So he told me, that's why you don't look like him, because we're doing a new Evita, basically. And so that's why then I go, okay, now it makes sense. And yeah, so I'm happy.
And how did they get hold of you? Because you're in America, based in America now, originally from Puerto Rico.
Yes.
So how did this come about that you ended up in Regent's Park?
Well, I'm born and raised in Puerto Rico. I moved to, like, 6 years ago to America, to Los Angeles. I was doing musical theater in Puerto Rico, and then I started to do things in L.A. And then I moved to New York to do On Your Feet, another show about the Estefans. And then my agency gave me this audition from L.A. So I did a self-tape. I sent it, and then they called back me to go to New York. So I did the call back in New York with Jamie Lloyd, and then I get picked by him for Juan Domingo Perón. It was a really nice surprise. Just first of all, to hear his accent, and to know that it will be a possibility to be performing in the other side of the world for the first time. So I was really, really excited.
So I mean, you've never been to London before.
Never.
Had you been to England before?
No. Never. First time. So this is a whole new adventure, and. Talking with the cast, they told me that this place, the Open Theater, is a really beautiful place to be and a magical place to perform. So I'm really lucky to be here for the first time and performing here.
Now, you talked about coming from Puerto Rico before you went to Los Angeles, but and you made your name through a show called, I'm not going to say this right, Que Viva the Chosen.
Que Viva the Chosen, yes.
Is that how I said it right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, right.
We're not familiar with that.
Okay.
So what is Que Viva the Chosen?
Que Viva the Chosen was a docu-series that they were picking for a show in Las Vegas. Basically, Jennifer Lopez, Mark Anthony, and Jamie King was picking up artists from different expressions, from dancing, even people with fire, singers, actors, and everything, to put a big show related to Latino America, all that side. So it was presented in Las Vegas, in Mandalay Bay, Las Vegas, and the process of the audition was all recorded and presented on Fox and on Univision at the same time, simultaneously. It was in two markets at the same time. So I was picked as one of the singers, and yeah, I was blessing to work with Mark Anthony, one of my favorite singers, and Jennifer Lopez, who we admire as Puerto Rican too. So it was really pretty nice show to explore all the sides, musical sides of Latin America, Brazil, Venezuela, Argentina, and be part of it. It was really nice.
And was that your sort of break into America then?
Yeah, that I think that was the decision that I made, because 10 years ago I was like, okay, I have to go to America. I've been doing, like, I don't know, 12 musicals in Puerto Rico, theater and television and everything, and I just want to make the step. So this particular step, it was like the one who bring me my manager, and then after that, an agent. So when I have all the team complete, then I say, okay, let's do this. Let's move to Los Angeles. Let's see what's happened. Mm-hmm. And then after that, it came like Broadway. So
I was going to say, so you move to Los Angeles, then you get a job on Broadway. So you've got to relocate.
I relocate to Los Angeles. I never work in L.A. It's the interesting part. So it's nice because it's a globalized world. So listeners who are telling, oh, I should move to this or this place. You know, we're in a globalized now that you can audition from every part of the world and work in London.
Yep,
So it's a really interesting thing that we are living. So yeah, so I move over there, and the first year that I was in LA, I get the audition for New York to On Your Feet. So I did the same process. I went to New York, I made my audition, and they told me, okay, are you ready to move for a year to New York? And I said, yes, of course, let's do it. It's the first time that I was like doing Broadway and with a lead character. It was really a blessing that I still, you know, looking at the sky and be very thankful, because it was an amazing experience.
And of course, that show, On Your Feet, came here.
Yeah.
At the Coliseum, and we saw that. And you were saying that you played Emilio as the fan, and you were saying that his story sort of related to yours in some way, that he moved in order for his career and for his music and...
Basically, when I, as an actor, I try to take personal things too, so I can relate and be more truthful in the story. So definitely, Emilio Estefan, when he came to the U.S., it was the first time he believed in himself. He had struggled with the accent, and I was basically the same. He's Caribbean, and looking forward to a world that is new for him. So in my case, as born and raised in Puerto Rico, to come to America to work in the theater as an important exposure as Broadway, it was a really American dream come true. So definitely I have that. And the interesting part is that 20 years ago, I sent Emilio Estefan, when he was the president of Sony Music, like a cassette, like a really cheap cassette that I did, like a musical. It was a song that it was really bad, but I just sent him a Polaroid picture in the garden of my mom's house. So it was, I was so naive. So I sent him a note to tell, oh, Emilio, please listen to me. I want to be in your company as a singer and everything. So obviously nobody answered me. And I was, yeah. So, and then he told me that I don't even get that card. And I, of course not. It was so bad. The song, it was so bad. But 20 years later, it was so fantastic to see Emilio Estefan in front. And not only that he can hear me, but the fact that I'm performing his life in a place like Broadway every single night, it was fantastic. So yeah, people, sometimes we have to wait 20 years, or sometimes we have to wait less or more, but the dreams always come true.
20 years and it all came back to you. Now, I've got to talk to you about, you have other strings to your bow, as we say. You're an artist, a very accomplished artist.
Oh, thank you. Yes, yes.
I've seen your pictures on the website. And folks, you should listen. You should look it up. The website, what's the website called?
The website is Hector Rivera Art.
Yes, Hector Rivera Art. And I've looked at some of your pieces. They're absolutely beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
You've done some lovely work on glass and on acrylic, which just looks... I might commission you for a piece for our house. It looks, honestly, it's absolutely stunning, beautiful colours. And how do you decide what to focus on? Because you've got the musical career and you've got the art, which both are hugely successful.
Oh, thank
you. Does something have to give? I mean, how do you prioritise?
I don't know. I just can't live without the other. And I think everything inspires. And as I told you, I'm really a spiritual, and I just believe that everything is connected. So this opportunity as an actor will definitely give me something to do an exhibition, and I just can't stop creating things. And in this career, you know that we have like silence periods of time, you know, for can be months, so I can't wait until another project of acting comes. So I just, okay, if we are not doing anything right now, let's create art and let's mount an exhibition. And then after the exhibition, then I have another project. So to, I don't know, keep motivating myself, but everything related to art. So I'm really happy to do it. And we have only one life, so I'm just trying to get...
You're living it to the full, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
And so you go back to LA after this. Is your wife here in London with you?
No, she's working in LA. She's a meteorologist, and she works. It's interesting because when I moved to LA, she was in Puerto Rico. So then I say, well, if you want, you can come to LA. And then she get the job in LA. She moves. So I think 1 month after she get the job, and we're finally together. And then I get called to New York. So we are like working this distance. It's really interesting how the unpredictable can be the career. But she's now in Los Angeles. She will come at the end. She came to the previews, and she will come at the end of the show to explore a little bit more about England and I don't know, certain places that we want to go.
But you're going back to LA after this run is over.
I will go back.
And if you could choose a part that you would love to play in musical theatre that you haven't played yet.
I need still to see a lot of musicals and a lot of plays to answer that question. I will like to do something from Lin-Manuel Miranda. I don't know, probably In the Heights or Hamilton or something, because first of all, I admire him as a Puerto Rican, and I would love to be part of the history of his. But I definitely need to see more shows to be able. One of the thing that I really loved, it was to play Emilio in On Your Feet. It's a really nice.
Oh, it's a great part.
It's a great part to because it's related to what I am. So I'm lucky. So every single show, I think, and this one, you know, to play Juan Domingo Perón is not basically for Evita. It's because of everything which surrounded, you know, to work with the choreographer, with Fabian and Alan, the musical, and Jamie Lloyd, and in the park and in London. Every single, I'm so curious, like I'm a kid. So every single experience, I say, oh, this is the best. This is the best. This is the best that I will ever get. So I'm just enjoying every single part, every single bit of this wonderful career.
And also, it's such a different production that coming in to play Perón. I mean, a lot of people say, oh, well, we know what that is, but not in this production. Oh, everything God. Is so different from yeah. the traditional production of Evita that, you know, it turns everything upside down on its head, really, doesn't it?
Incredible. Like, it's, you have to trust. You know, at the first, you were, Jamie, are you sure? Are you sure we can do but. But this is the, but how can, you know, but I don't feel like that. No, erase everything, just trust and put it together. And why we will do Evita as 100 times that they did Evita in the past. Just do something different. And people will decide if they like it or not. But we have to trust. And with the base of truth, do it what we are exploring. So I just blinded. I just trust in the process. And it's incredible how the audience react, because it's like an unpredictable thing, and they don't know what to think, and they loved it, and they come back again, and Tim Rice and Elaine Page came yesterday, and
oh, did she?
Yeah, and the reaction was, oh, this is really is the most different show that I ever seen mm-hmm. about Evita. So why the eyes of Elaine was like, I love this, but I don't know where to put it. So it was so that reaction is art. Mm. So I think I'm in a piece of a painting, moving painting, and I love that it's this different from yeah. other productions.
And I love, because everyone's familiar with the music, and it's the same music, but in a completely different context of yeah. staging. So everybody, oh, I've never seen that done like yeah. that before.
That's how I love this, because they're respecting the music, and we have like 18 members in the band, so the music is powerful.
Oh, it sounds fantastic.
It sounds incredible. They didn't touch that, so... It's so nice to have the powerful music, but then visually, and then the stage that we have on steps, dancing, and you know, the costume, everything is like so well put, and I'm really proud to be part of this production.
Well, you should be. You're beautiful in it, Hector. Thank you,
thank you
so much for coming in.
Oh,
and
thank
talking
you very much
us.
For having me. I have a great time.
Thank you.
That was Samantha Pauly as Ava, Trent Saunders as Che, and Hector Rivera, who plays Juan Perón, all in the cast of Evita, running at the Regent's Park Open Air Theatre this summer.
Grab some friends and an ice-cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew!